Great big band song. Thank you to our new big band DJ, Michael, who is going to be with us from now on until further notice, as they say. And he's really earning his pay here, which, of course, is nothing because we're all volunteers with the exception of myself and a couple of others. My name is Jay Koronik, and you have found our weekly show, the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views, beginning immediately. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Why do we call it the new WHFR Journal? Because it's not the same as last week. That's why you always have to tune in on a Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. or go to our website, whfr.fm, in order to find out what's going on in Dearborn and the surrounding area. My name is Jay Koronik, and happy to be with you here on the show today. Joining me is our WHFR News Director, Dennis. How you doing today, Dennis?
I'm fine, Jay. Good to see you.
Okay. Well, always good to see you. I know you were suffering from a cold there. I guess end of summer season, beginning of fall cold had struck you.
I was on my deathbed a week ago.
Oh.
Literally.
Well, that's not nice.
Running around here doing...
Well, for anyone else that might be suffering from the flu or think they might get it, we have the official press release from the city of Dearborn about the flu shots that they're making available, and they are less expensive than in some other places in town, and they will take Medicare and charges, too. So we'll mention that later in the hour. A few minutes from now, Dennis is going to go out and... wait for our special guest, another Dearborn City Council candidate. That's right, another one of those challengers to the ensconced incumbents which we're going to be doing interviews for. Almost all of them that we can schedule, and we have the next 4 weeks, including today, all booked up. So today it's going to be Sharon Domage.
Exactly.
And she's going to be here, we think, about 1:15, 1:20, and we're going to do what we've agreed to, just trying to be fair with the other candidates, about a 30-minute interview. Let her talk about why she's running and what the big issues are in the city council that she wants to attend to. So that'll be an honor for us. I've known Sharon Domage for years because she has served on the Dearborn Board of Education, which also happens to be the Henry Ford Community College Board of Trustees. So I just professionally here at the station, seen and heard a lot of her issues that she has championed over the years. And she, I think, succeeded very well in that position. But now moving to the Dearborn City Council as a candidate. So we'll talk more to Sharon Domage a little later in this first half hour and do about 30 minutes of background. So hope that will help you make up your mind here in Dearborn in November. You've got 14 candidates, and you can vote for up to 7 that you think should be the final 7 on the council. Well, we're going to take a look at the news coming up immediately here from the papers, the Dearborn Times-Herald and the Dearborn Press and Guide. We can never get to all of the stories. We highly recommend you subscribe. That's the cheapest way to do it, to one or the other or both every week and read them in depth, because you can't get this stuff anywhere else, just like WHFR-FM, the station making waves, can't get us anywhere else on the radio dial, and with programming that's quite unique too. Going to be talking to Sharon Domage about the Dearborn Town Center project, and that's what they call it. I think it's a little bit confusing. Fairlane Town Center, now there's a Dearborn Town Center, as if Fairlane's not in Dearborn or something. This is, of course, the $40 million development, 162,000 square feet of office and retail space. It'll primarily serve as the home for Oakwood Healthcare System and Midwest Health Services. In other words, it's the Montgomery Wards area development right across from Dearborn City Hall on Michigan Avenue in East Dearborn. So, again, you know, they've got further background about what's happening there. This gentleman from Oakwood Enterprises, and Oakwood is the key participant in this, John Kuten, K-E-U-T-E-N, was talking at the Economic Outlook Breakfast this last Tuesday, sponsored by the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce. And, well, it's coming along. What can we say? I think I read that they're putting the last beam of the grid, the frame for the building. So now they got to build the building, but they've got the frame there. And so that's moving along in pretty good stead, I think. And let's see here, also looking at the Press and Guide from last Sunday. Okay. Got a nice article here about Professor Gelderloos, who was formerly the person, as well as a professor at University of Michigan Dearborn, but he was the person who was the first director of the Environmental Interpretive Center, and he was a guest on our show last year. We got him before he left and retired from that job anyway, and they have a very active program of involving the public, as well as students from both campuses, U of M Dearborn and Henry Ford Community College, in the natural area, which is the forest that is in that area of the Henry Ford Estate. And they tell me that it is as small as it can get in terms of remaining totally natural, that is self-sustaining. So if the trees die, other trees within that area, you know, spring up, and so it always stays about the same. It's just some trees fall down, others grow bigger, and so on. But it's interesting to think about this, is that all of us with trees on our own property or whatever, those things aren't self-sustaining. If we don't plant more trees, you know, their seeds are not going to be able to regrow because we keep, you know, putting the grass in there and cutting it a lot. And so we're not going to be able to keep the trees growing. And even our own residential neighborhoods, they can't do that on their own. We have to help them. So it's something to think about in terms of your fall planning and planting and gardening and so on. There's still time and some great deals on bushes and trees to plant in your yard before the frost hits them. And they'll still be there in the spring. Or you can get a refund. what the heck. So anyway, nice picture of Oren Gelderus and a little bio about him. And he's being replaced, if that's possible, in this position as head of the U of M Dearborn's Environmental Interpretive Center by David Susko. So we hope to talk to him sometime in the future, too, about their programs and activities. It's a great community resource. Not really a recreational area in the sense of, oh, let's go throw frisbees or let's go ride motorbikes. You know, you can't do that. Okay, we're trying to protect the natural environment there. And so you got to be respectful about what happens. But the Interpretive Center is a great place to begin that effort. Let's see what else is going on here. Well, next weekend, and we can talk about it a little bit now, is Fall into Dearborn. Ouch! I always think about trip and fall. You know, it sounds like you might get hurt. I've never been in, and no one asked me, but I've never been in favor of that name for this event, Fall into Dearborn. They didn't want to call it Fall in Dearborn. That'd be just too obvious. I mean, just too, just logical. You know, that wouldn't work. It has to be something cutesy. So there will be a grand opening next week, Friday, and we hope to do our Dearborn Farm Market Utterson's report a little bit later. Usually I'm over there buying my own vegetables and apple fritters and things about 10:30, but since the Dearborn Welcome Center is going to be opening in the Bryant Library, grand opening next Friday also at 11 a.m., we'll probably call in about 11 a.m., that facility is located in the lower level of Bryant Library, which is the corner of Michigan and Mason Street. And it'll be a one-stop shop for visitors to Dearborn seeking information about attractions, lodging, dining, shopping, and nightlife. And it is the new offices, too, of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, who are operating that welcome center. They hired someone else or their own staff, and so maybe we'll get a chance to talk to some of their staff and see how things are going. Either give a report on this show next week, or maybe that farm market report can be extended a little bit to interview someone from the center. They'll probably be pretty busy right when it opens at 11. The farm market, of course, opens earlier. There's going to be a preview party and a symphony concert that night in WHFR, since we are happy to present our classical music for you every morning from 2 or 3 a.m. until 10 a.m., and that is sort of co-sponsored with the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, and we love to promote them, and they promote us. Two nonprofit organizations, that's the thing to do, right? And so we're going to have a table, an information table, and be giving away some of our WHFR stuff for free that same night. It opens the fall series of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, and that is certainly an exciting time. So that's next week, Friday evening, and I think the doors open, and we'll be at the table from 7:30 on till 8 when the music starts. It's going to be a great performance. Tickets are $25 per person in advance, or $30 at the door. Of course, I think you can buy a season ticket for less than that. That's a Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. Dearborn Symphony. .org is the website, I think, if you want information about the symphony. Their number is 313-565-2424. One more time, Dearborn Symphony, 313-565-2424. Now, also next Friday, pretty big deal. That's something to plan on if you're not going to the symphony, or just can't get there, or maybe can't afford the ticket price, a free concert by Detroit blues diva Thornetta Davis. And believe me, we at WHFR here, she's on our own self-produced blues CDs that we've been selling for years. She did a great benefit concert for us a couple years ago that we made a ton of money on from the now closed Tenney Street Roadhouse, which is still a tragedy in West Dearborn that can't be open and functioning for these purposes. But she's going to be outdoors. So for good weather, it was canceled. Her outdoor concert, which was scheduled in August, was canceled because of bad weather. But she's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. October 2nd at Muirhead Plaza. That's located just north of the Bryant Branch Library. Bring a long chair, a lawn chair, or a blanket to sit on. I think you're sitting in the parking lot, folks. So bring something comfortable there. But she is a great performer. I don't know if she's doing two sets or one. 3-hour set. I'm not sure, but what a fantastic performer. And that's free. That's free. Yeah. Also fall into Dearborn, DCAC Art Fair. And that's, there has been an art fair in West Dearborn in June for many, many years that WHFR was a part of. We do art type stuff. The music we play is, we think, works of art, or we wouldn't play it. We don't play just that commercial stuff that everybody else does, you know. I mean, we play stuff that we think is really, really special that the other stations somehow aren't playing. Equal to or better than what's on the other stations. That's what we say anyway. So that DCAC Art Fair is not going to be in West Dearborn, though. This time, October 3 and 4, Saturday and Sunday, next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend. Is going to be at the center. That is the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Okay? It's free and open to the public. Okay? And a lot of things going on, live music, food, chalk artist. I guess that's on the sidewalk outside. I don't think they're making chalk paintings on the tile indoors there. Too classy for that, probably. A children's art gallery with a hands-on activity area. The artwork in the Badzutsky Gallery and sculptures located across the center's campus. Across the center's campus. So outdoors, too, I guess, as part of the Dearborn Community Fund's Art in Public Places exhibition. A mini business expo for mini businesses. Will also be part of the art fair. No, I'm just kidding there. I'm sure it's not a huge expo, but it is an expo of one sort or the other. And that's going to be there free also. Local products and services, local area businesses. That's all very, very exciting stuff. So what we're going to do now here on the new WHFR Journal, I see that our guest has arrived in the outside office. And so we're going to feature Jim Hightower here, as we usually do each week, and play a couple of our special non-commercial announcements as we get her behind the microphone to start her interview. So take a listen to these important messages, and Jim Hightower's opinion is always priceless.
Jack Welch, what a guy. The former CEO of General Electric, who paid himself a fortune while slashing jobs and busting the wages of GE's workers, had an epiphany in 1995. Actually, what he had was heart bypass surgery, which prompted him to consider his own mortality and reassess his values. Waxing philosophical, Jack says that, upon reflection, he now feels remorse for how he had lived. What was his chief regret? Before the operation, he says, I didn't spend enough money. Before that, I tended to buy inexpensive wine. I would never spend $100 on a bottle of wine. Now, I never spend less than that. Wow, what a deep thinker! He gives narcissistic self-entitlement a bad name. However, there are a couple of groups that wish more of us would think like Jack. Restaurateurs and wine merchants. It seems that today's economic malaise is causing consumers to cut back on their booze purchases, thus squeezing a very large and broad economic sector. Not that people are drinking any less. In fact, the overall volume of wine, beer, and liquor sales is up, perhaps because folks feel a need to drown their economic woes. The problem is that, unlike such fat cats as Jack, customers are trading down. Instead of selecting a nice bottle of Chardonnay at the store for $20, they're going for the $2 chuck. Likewise, bars and restaurants are hurting because more people are choosing to eat and drink at home. And those who do go out are foregoing the pricier top-shelf stuff. In today's economy, the new 7-course dinner is a 6-pack and a Slim Jim. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we're relearning from America's booze indicator is that the trickle-down effect of the wealthy few cannot sustain our economy. Instead, we need the percolate-up impact that only comes when the many are doing well.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publishers of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Need to know? WHFR's Tuesday Talk, noon to 2 p.m., features 2 unique hours of information you can't get from any other Detroit radio station. Need to know about science? Hour 1 from noon to 1 p.m., we're proud to present what we believe to be the best weekly radio science show.
Are We Alone? Science Radio for Thinking Species, produced by the SETI Institute and hosted by nationally noted scientist Seth Shostak. Need to know about anything else? Hour 2, 1 to 2 p.m., the WHFR Forum, a wide range of program topics locally selected and, whenever possible, locally produced and hosted, from UFOs to metaphysics to intellectual history, from ecology to health. So check out Tuesday Talk each week, noon to 2 p.m. Science Radio is also available on the internet from SETI.org/radio. For the WHFR Forum shows at any time, go to our own website, WHFR.fm, and click on Forum. You need to know our mission.
If these these extraterrestrials are so highly evolved, how come it is that they only address people named Bubba who are out hunting and fishing?
I'm Fife Symington. In 1997, during my second term as governor of Arizona, I saw something that defied logic and challenged my reality.
I saw one, but I don't know what, it just disappeared.
And the saucer flew right over him and put down three little gear and landed out on the dry lake bed.
Governors, U.S. presidents, and former astronauts are among the millions who have witnessed UFOs. Many are now coming forward with their stories. Investigate the evidence the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when WHFR presents We Are Not Alone.
We're back with more WHFR Journal. And we have a special guest in the studio right now, and that is Sharon Domage. Getting your microphone in place. You don't have to lean into that. I'll make adjustments and so on. And let me have you introduce yourself to our audience. Sharon is running for the Dearborn City Council. She was actually in the top 7, or in the top 14, but actually I think also in the top 7 in terms of vote getting for the candidates. It had to be the top 14 out of 25 to go on to the November election, and you did really well as a challenger. So apparently a lot of people know of your, not just your name, but your experience in the community. For those that don't, go ahead and give us, three or four minute summary of your background.
Well, my name is Sharon Domage. I attended Henry Ford Community College, and I'm really happy to be here and sitting in the studio. I've been a Dearborn resident for 45, 46 years. My husband is a lifelong Dearborn resident. And note I said Dearborn, not Dearborn. Those of us who have been here, it's Dearborn. I'm married to the same fella I've been married to for two-thirds of my life, practically. And we have three kids and some grandkids. And my kids live in the area. Two of them do, and one lives up north. And I attended Henry Ford Community College. I have a liberal arts degree from here. And then I went back and got a nursing degree and continued on and went to Detroit College of Business for a degree in business. And then I attended Central Michigan University.
I personally, you know, we can't support one candidate over the other here, but I personally think that college education, higher ed, since I'm part of that, has got to give you additional insight, especially, of course, the business part of the degree for you, and that would be a good thing to have that knowledge when issues come up on the city council, of course. With your experience with the college, it's more than 20 years, Board of Ed, Henry Ford Community College, or close to 20 years, is that right?
22 years.
22 years, but who's counting? We are, of course. In that time, can you talk about, say, maybe the three top moments or top issues that you're most proud of or you're most happy to have contributed to over these years?
Well, I think a lot of the program development at the college I was a part of. Some of the new buildings, the Patterson Tech building was one, and of course the renovation of the parking lots, which is something that's near and dear to the students as well as the faculty. There's been in the growth in the college. I am so pleased about it. The M-Tech Center, I think that was a real plus. Mm-hmm. And I love Henry Ford Community College. I liked it so much, I decided to go here twice.
And then
when I graduated from nursing, I ran for the board and was elected in my first attempt. And it was a wonderful experience, and I had wonderful instructors, and I'm just so pleased about it, and will always be a big supporter of HFCC.
For anyone that takes political science, they know that being elected to the Board of Education, and in this case also having to be part of the Board of Trustees for Henry Ford Community College, is probably the least well-paid of any political position in the U.S. It's part-time, but then again, so is the Dearborn City Council. And that means you have to bring something to it. You have to really want to do the job, since there's not that much economic connection there. What was the three most difficult things about being a member of the Board of Ed?
I think that it's difficult to serve two different entities. I think it was hard being P-12 and the college. Because I was very involved in both before I ran for the board, I felt I was always able to take my P-12 hat off and deal with college issues. And the same thing with Henry, when I was wearing my college hat, I had to be careful not to put P-12 into it. And the separation of the two, I think, is the most difficult part of it. Mm-hmm. And to remember that it's different bargaining units, and the decisions need to be made differently for both institutions.
I remember when, I joined the campus here in 1968. I was only 5 years old at the time, of course, but I came in rather early, but I was hired in the English department, and this newer campus, I mean, the classes here since 1938 had been in high school buildings on the east side of town, I think, over at Fortson, and then also at that campus that the Board of Ed shared. There were some tech classes on Lois Avenue, if you remember that, a long time ago.
I sure do remember.
She's not that old to remember. When we had to make the case for this campus, which I think opened officially in 61 or 62 here, they had to ask, the Board of Ed had a difficult time when they looked at the plans, and they said, "You want an office for each teacher, each full-time teacher?" You know, because they were K-12, and teachers, well, your office is your homeroom. I mean, you know, your classroom, you just keep your stuff in the desk there. At least that's the way it was then. And then there was a whole bunch of issues, and I know that a couple times in these 40 years, that the separation of Henry Ford Community College from the public schools, thereby giving us a separate board who could be full-time just concerned about our issues and get deep into our issues, was proposed. Apparently now there's not really an economic or financial advantage to do that. It did come up once and was voted down by the people of Dearborn, I think because they didn't want to lose control I don't know, all the economies that if they kept it within the Board of Ed district under the same people, it would somehow, it just made them feel more comfortable rather than having a separate board, and who knows what might happen with the district. And I think they were afraid that we might get combined by the state legislature with Wayne County Community College. There was only slightly justified arguments made for it not happening, but it is a big responsibility, and I certainly hope that the new candidates that are up for election for the Dearborn Board of Ed, and by the way, we're going to hopefully send Dennis, our WHO news director, to a debate coming up on October 7th with, I think it's one incumbent and three challengers at the Duval School. I think it's, I just mentioned it, folks, Duval Elementary, October 7th. From 7 p.m. to 8:30, if you can get there, that would be very good. But I wonder if a lot of these candidates really understand that they have these two responsibilities, and they're not really the same, and they both require serious attention. But you've succeeded with that, and been a champion for a lot of our causes, as well as the K-12 at the same time. Well, you're shifting your experience now, and how do you feel about some of the ongoing issues here in Dearborn? I'm just going to go down a list, and again, a lot of them are just There's still questions that might come up on the console. I'll just start with the big one, the development or redevelopment of East and West Dearborn. West Dearborn, of course, has a lot of development in, but as we cover stories every week, businesses keep closing. There's another bar opening, I see, in the so-called West Village Commons, the West Dearborn area. But how do you think that's going? What do you think? Is there a new direction that should be taken there, or what can we do to help make that a better business area?
Well, I think we have to actively recruit business to Dearborn, and I mean retail as well as business. And actually, I've been looking at some different opportunities and have spoken to some current business owners about maybe a change in direction a little bit.
Hmm.
And this morning, I just happened to stop by the farm market before I went to my meeting at the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce for Margaritaville, which is going to be held here on this campus on October 10th. And I stopped by there, and I was talking to a couple of the vendors, and I said, gee, it would be so nice if we could get a storefront and have all of these vendors have their things to sell in a Dearborn store. There's a lot of items for sale that other than fruits and vegetables it would be nice to do that rather than have it sit vacant. There's a couple other stores that I've been looking at, not in Dearborn, outside of the community, that are not part of a chain, and there is some interest among a few people. But I think we have to go out and really recruit and look at things that we think will do well in Dearborn. I think there are some opportunities to do some things with the parking structures to generate some revenue. If you take a look at Royal Oak, for instance, they have a flea market kind of thing and a farm market type thing in one of their parking structures, and they've done it for years.
Inside the structure, yeah.
So you could actually expand the farm market to make it last longer, started earlier in the season and later on.
That's an exciting concept, because I think we could easily transfer, since both those towers usually aren't filled at any point in time, we could transfer all the parking to one, and the other one would be available for at least, let's say, daytime hours. So that's an interesting idea. I hadn't heard that before.
I keep thinking of ideas and different kinds of things.
I think that's what we need. I mean, you know, not every idea is going to be the best one, but somebody's got to generate ideas so we can choose from the best ones. Let me ask you, you certainly are aware of that Burton Katzman is being sued by the city for not fully developing that area according to what they planned at the beginning. I think the city is asking $11 or $12 million, if they get everything they're asking for, since they feel that amount of construction didn't happen. And I don't know if there's some damages or missed opportunities that are part of that money, too. But let's say the city does get $11 million from Burton Katzman. What do you think that should go to? Where do you think that money should go? Should the city then try to build that hotel between the two parking towers, do you think? Or pay off the debt on those two buildings? I think it comes to about that, maybe a little more for the construction bond for those buildings. You have any ideas what you think the council might want to do with that?
Well, I think I would have to look at it, but I think paying off part of the debt would be a good start. However, I do think that some of the money should go into redevelopment. When you recruit business to Dearborn, I think we're going to maybe need to give them a little break and nurture them and help keep them here and have a wide campaign to promote their businesses and the businesses that we have. And I know that some of that does cost money, but we need to have incubator-type things for new businesses in town.
One of the things I like about the Royal Oak and, well, certainly the Ann Arbor business area is that they have in their downtown so many local stores, that is, stores that they may have maybe a couple of locations in the Detroit area, but they're pretty much just local businesses. And I would assume that getting local businesses, which have usually very unique products, that you can't get anywhere else, not in a shopping center, that they need more startup money to get people's attention. to get the word out, like development money, as you're saying. So I know for years the previous mayor, Mayor Guido, he was against, as the city owned a lot of that property in West Dearborn, against a big box store or large franchise store coming in there that wouldn't be all that unique. I mean, okay, it's the closest big box store for 10 miles, but still, you know, maybe if people aren't living directly in Dearborn, they really don't care, but they can care more about a store that's quite local and also unique. Unique services, unique products. In fact, often people might pay a little more money even for a product if they think it was, I don't know, handmade, hand-produced. I often visit Austin, Texas, where I have some friends, and they have film festivals there that I go to as a film professor would. Their slogan for their downtown area, and they're quite religious about it in a secular way, is keep Austin weird. And what that means is not the freaky part of weird, but keep it local, keep it unique. And I think that would be a great idea if it holds up for West Dearborn. Of course, as we said on this show many times, too bad we lost the live music venue, Tenney Street Roadhouse, from West Dearborn. Too bad many years ago we lost a nice little movie theater that was originally built, I think, in the 1930s. There was fire damage, and the owners decided, just tear it down. We'll take the insurance and run. And, a small boutique theater, maybe with, you know, alternative films, classic films, I think that would have been a great way to pull people in, like Royal Oak has the Main Art Theater. And that has unique things you can't get elsewhere. So a couple more things in the mix there. Let me ask you one thing that was in the paper this week. Doug Thomas said right now all that's happening in West Dearborn for development is, and you know Doug Thomas, of course, has strong opinions on many things, and if you're on the console with him, good luck. But just because you know he's going to have an opinion, and you better have your opinion ready to go too. He said, you know, all we've got really is bars and restaurants there. It's predominantly bars and restaurants. He said, that's great for tourism, though. We should put every bit of money we've got in effort, you talked about redevelopment, into the tie with Henry Ford, the Henry Ford. Get an entrance from Michigan Avenue to it. He said, because, you know, just because of the businesses we have now, and got another bar going in, he thinks we got to tie into the tourism of the Henry Ford. What do you think about that? Have you thought about that ever?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree about that. But I think that's been discussed before. I don't think that's a Doug Thomas idea.
I thought there was going to be like a two-sided train station entrance or something. And I don't know where that's being postponed to, where the new intermodal train station that's proposed. Maybe that will be in West Dearborn, and maybe that's, although that seems to me too far west to be connected to. I don't know my geography that well in terms of whether or not that could be tied in easily. But I hadn't thought about that. Just other than trying to get the right mix of businesses, or get a little movie theater in there, or get. By the way, Michael Moore, I heard him in Traverse City, said he's going to do a freebie tour throughout Michigan for local movie theaters to be developed. That he will come to your community, he said, for free, and talk about how his state theater is such a big success in Traverse City. Of course, he already had a theater, but it wasn't open. They had to renovate it, and they had to promote it, and they had to program it. And now it's the number one most successful local theater in the whole United States. More people attend weekly that theater than any other local independent theater in the whole United States. So he's doing something right there. And it's not just his personal politics, since Traverse City is quite conservative Republican. So I don't know, maybe we want to invite Michael Moore down to town and talk about, what would it cost us to put a movie theater, a small movie theater in? I mean, to actually build it.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just, I got ideas too,
That discussion, they've talked about a movie theater, and some people didn't like it. But you know what? We have got to talk about moving Dearborn forward and expanding the tax base. And the only way you're going to do that is by bringing things to Dearborn that's going to attract people to come here and stay and visit and live. We need to promote ourselves, but it has to be more than bars and restaurants. And I think the people of Dearborn need places to shop.
And some reason to stay around for a while. I mean, eat, shop, be entertained. I mean, the whole
Absolutely.
Picture there. That was the only criticism that, again, Doug Thomas and I think Tefelsky made strongly, too, about the Dearborn Town Center, the medical center facility primarily that's going up next across the street, across Schaefer from Dearborn City Hall, was that people go there for medical treatment. They're sick, and then they get their prescriptions and their treatment. They go back home. They're not likely to stay to be entertained or to eat food necessarily, unless it's on their diet. And it wouldn't be the, I mean, it's business and people come there and other things might happen, but it's mostly a daytime thing. And it's mostly people who aren't maybe in the mood to stay and party for a while. And I'm not insulting people who are ill. We need good facilities of that sort everywhere. Balancing that out is a difficult task. Do you have any opinion about, or have you been following what's happened with East Dearborn in terms of the their development authority, the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority? They've asked their executive director to leave.
Yes, I know that. I don't know the circumstances behind that. But, you know, they're doing some decent development on Warren Avenue, which I think is good. But Michigan Avenue absolutely needs some development. And Schaefer Road, where Paisano's was, had the large restaurant.
And Midwest restaurant Health Center is moving down, so that's going to be open.
That's going to create another opening there. And it definitely needs to be developed as well.
I know that the Development Authority does have the mayor, and I think Mr. Guido, his assistant, is on it. I don't know if there's someone else from city administration. Is there a council representative on that? Are you aware?
I don't think so.
Other than business people, of course, representing the East Dearborn. But the interesting thing was Mr. Bechner, who was that former executive director, he thought things were going pretty well, so it was kind of a surprise to him that they came and just said, get out of your office all of a sudden. So I don't know if that's the right way to handle a firing, even if you want to do it.
I think we were all surprised.
Yeah. I've had him on the show here a couple of times, not recently, but he had some ideas. He did admit there were some things that he didn't bring to fruition, that were sort of on the back burner for a while that he didn't get to. So maybe that was of concern to those people. It's nice to know that they do have the group, and it's I think those authorities are funded actually through maybe the federal government or the state. There's some money. It's not all just city money that develops those. But in any event, the business people have sort of a choice in choosing the direction they need to go in their own area. So that's good. New issues. Okay. Train station. The conference center around Fairlane, these are all things that are going to cost more money. Which do you think those will be very successful long term?
Well, I think we have got to look long term and look at the long term plan for the city and the development. You can't just base your decision on what's going to happen in the next few years. It has to be based on generating revenue for a long period of time. And really, I think a conference center would do well here. We just don't have a very large area to have conferences in. And, you know, for instance, I've been to some, not many. Other trustees have gone to several, but I have been to a few. And, gosh, I just think about the National School Board Association conference, or the community college trustees, ACT or ACCT, they're huge, and this would be a wonderful venue to have a conference. But there isn't anything large enough to house the kinds of rooms and stuff that they need for that.
I think it's they're thinking about land next to the Hyatt Regency. I don't know if the Hyatt Regency would have exclusive rights to it, or whether it would be shared by the other hotels nearby. Obviously, any conference coming here, there wouldn't be enough rooms in one hotel for a big conference. They'd have to all benefit, and therefore maybe they could cooperatively share the booking, too, of that facility. It does make sense to me, and there's nothing wrong with, there's plenty of things in Dearborn, and this area, is especially the Henry Ford, I guess, that people might like as an extra incentive to come to this area. Certainly, Dearborn in autumn. a lot of colors in those leaves around here, and the Henry Ford Estate and so on. Some nice things going on that could be helpful for. Money coming for that, I'm not really clear where it would be coming from for that project. I know the intermodal train station may get some help from state and federal monies when that's set up, so that'll be good to see. We have about 5 minutes left in your high-powered interview here. We're talking to Sharon Damage, who's running for the Dearborn Council, and that's a November 3rd election. We want to remind you folks, if you're not registered, you can't vote. You need to register by 30 days in advance, and I don't know, Dennis, we haven't checked on that exact date. It's coming up October 3rd, therefore 30 days in advance is a Saturday, I think. And call your local city halls, folks, because there's elections in every area, that maybe they'll be open on Monday, October 5th for taking registrations. But I'd say by next Friday, October 2nd, you really should go in there and get registered. It is also, if you're redoing your driver's license or something, they can register you there at the Secretary of State's office for voting in your local election. But you only have another week to get registered. And you say, well, I don't think I want to vote. What if you find a great candidate, like listening to one of our interviews here on this station, at the last minute, and you're not registered? Oh, I can't vote. I didn't think there was going to be anybody I wanted to vote. Oh, my gosh. So if you're not registered, you can't vote even at the last minute. So that seems to take away a lot of personal freedom, as well as hurt our community in general. If you find a great candidate, then you got to go vote. Okay, in the summary here, and we'll give you a chance to summarize why people should vote for you, Sharon, in the last minute or two, but the tough part, all these things we're talking about do cost money, and there's less revenue coming in because the home values have gone down. Cuts, savings?
Well, I think one of the things, I think my experience as a trustee for Dearborn Schools and Henry Ford Community College has really made me take a look at what each public entity has to offer and how we purchase materials and supplies and how we could be more effective for each institution, really by combining, working more closely with each other to eliminate duplication of services and purchasing power. And, you know, very obviously, I pretty much have the upper hand, you know, of any other candidate on knowing how that's done and how it can be done.
And looking at complicated, detailed budgets. I assume the city budget is larger in terms of money coming in? No, the school budget's bigger.
The school budget actually is larger, and the school district has more employees than
the city. Well, that's good to know.
You
know how to read all those different accounting lines and debits and credits and all that. That can be quite a challenge. And in this case, of course, in your previous, there was two separate books, because Henry Ford Community College, even though we're under the same folks, I think our accounting is separate, right?
It is now.
It is now, right. It wasn't always, I know, yeah. So it has been quite a challenge. And, of course, you always had to balance the budget. A college has to do that. So does the city. Mayor O'Reilly was mentioning to me that, of course, like many businesses, it's healthcare expenses, which are required. Personnel is a big chunk of the budget for the city. And paying for the benefits, it's a real problem. He was hoping, and this is his position, that there'd be some either state or federal healthcare plan, universal or public option or whatever. He thought that would really help the city. Do you have an idea about that? You think that would help the city to have the federal or the state government come in and help out?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm a nurse, so I have a pretty good understanding of the issues in the healthcare arena, both in people not having access to healthcare. I think it would be, I haven't read the entire thing because I understand it's like hundreds of pages long and there's other things attached to it, but we obviously have got to do something with the health plan, and I think it definitely would be helpful. I do, however, feel that should it not come to fruition for a while, that there are between, you know, the schools, of course, we've got U of M, we've got Dearborn and Dearborn Schools, and we can, and the city, of course, to look at purchasing, and, you know, there's just more power if we're all under the same umbrella, maybe.
Right. Representative Andy Dillon from Dearborn Heights has already proposed and been criticized and somewhat lauded for in the state trying to combine the state employees with all the teachers, public school teachers, and all the police departments. And, of course, teacher unions and police departments are all against that because they feel that the combined plan may cost everybody less, but it's going to have less coverage. They're worried about that, of course. So it's a big issue, and I'm glad that you had that background. Give you 2 minutes now to just summarize to our listeners why they should vote for you as one of their choices in the November election for Dearborn City Council.
Well, you know, I've looked at a lot of issues. Basically, my main things are stabilization of neighborhoods and working with city leadership, which I think will enhance the property values and attract people to Dearborn. And we've already talked about the business. I do believe we need closer monitoring of rental properties and unfinished construction. And obviously our city services are very, very important, fire, police, and our other city services. And we're very lucky here in Dearborn to have such wonderful services. And we've talked about paid parking. I think that my experience as a trustee of Henry Ford Community College and Dearborn Schools, plus my community involvement, such as I've been Rotary Club, Dearborn Education Foundation, a Chamber of Commerce, Board of Directors, former Foundation Board of Directors for Henry Ford Community College. I was on the board at Rotary. Currently, I am treasurer of AAUW.
Oh, yeah. How'd that book sale go?
It went well.
That's good.
More money than last year. Great. Actually. And I was appointed to the Oakwood Hospital Ethics Committee. And I think one of the things that I'm really, and I've been, was PTA president at three different schools, and I've just been involved for years and years and years, and I'm not one to sit back. I'm actually a doer, and I get out there and work for what I believe in. I don't think I can ever be accused of not speaking up and voicing my opinion. But one of the things that I'm real proud of is last year I was the recipient of the Henry Ford Community College Focus on Women Jean Brazel Community Role Model Award. And for that, I am really proud of that. I was very surprised and very proud. But I think, you know, I'm a very moral and ethical person and feel that government should be an open book. I think we should listen to our opportunities to work with our employees and listen to what they have to say. And I think my experience with working with unions and other employees really will help.
Very impressive, I have to say. You know, some candidates coming in, they may have a lot of great ideas, and maybe those can counter the years of experience that some other candidates have, like yourself. But I want to thank you, just as part of Henry Ford Community College, for all your service here over the years. I don't have an award to give you today, but we have a bumper sticker in that package there for you. And good success. I hope you have great success in getting your message out. Before we have to say goodbye to you today, is there a phone number or a website for people who want more information or maybe want to send you a donation?
Yes, I do have a website. It's
www.sldulmage, D-U-L-M-A-G-E, right?
I also have an email.
What is that, .net?
.com.
Okay, thank you. Got it. And your email?
And my email is sldulmage@yahoo.com.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can be reached by phone, 313-561-6569. And I return all phone calls, even if it's negative stuff. I will return the phone call and talk to folks.
That's great. Let me just repeat that one more time. SLDulmage, D-U-L-M-A-G-E, either .com for the website or SLDulmage@yahoo.com. Telephone number 313-561-6569.
That's correct.
That's good. Thanks so much for coming by. And, of course, if anybody else cares out there, you can listen to the show and the interview with Sharon DulMage by today's date by going to our website, whfr.fm, and downloading the podcast there. Thanks so much for coming in. And as we said, good luck in your campaign.
Thank you.
Alice in Wonderland, Humpty Dumpty declares, "When I use a word, it means what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." Well, get ready to tumble down the semantical rabbit hole again, for giant corporations are trying to co-opt the meaning of one of our important words, local. It's important because small businesses all across the country have created a very positive grassroots economic movement based on being local producers, providers, and marketers. Over 130 cities have local business alliances with 30,000 businesses enlisted. The movement has been phenomenally popular with consumers who like the flavor and personality of local enterprises and like the fact that their consumer dollars stay in their community. So now, other businesses want in on the action. Such outfits as Frito-Lay, Walmart, Starbucks, CVS, and Barnes & Noble. These global brands are using TV ads and other promotions to hawk their mass-produced stuff as local. The sprawling Barnes & Noble chain, for example, cheerfully asserts all bookselling is local. Hellman's, a division of Dutch-owned Unilever, is claiming that its mayonnaise is local because most of its ingredients come from North America. That isn't local, it's loco. An executive of a PR outfit that is helping promote this perversion explains the so-called logic behind the corporate power play. There is a belief that you can only be local if you are a small and authentic brand. This isn't necessarily true, she says. Big brands can use the notion of local to their advantage as well. It's a different way of thinking about local that is not quite as literal. This is Jim Hightower saying, wow, wouldn't Humpty Dumpty be proud of her? To connect with a genuine local business movement, contact the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, ilsr.org.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
The new WHFR Journal for Friday, September. Yes, it is still September 25th, 2009. Jay Kornick with you. And in finishing up here of our hour of local news and views, we thought we would give you another Jim Hightower. Imagine one day in one show, you get to hear Jim Hightower twice, our progressive commentator out of Austin, Texas area, which, as I just said in our interview with our council candidate, Sharon DiMaggio, today, they really believe in local, the uniqueness of supporting local businesses and shopping there. And you know, it's just, it is a wonderful thing. You can get all that mass marketed Walmart type stuff and so on, too, if you prefer that. But what an exciting time. What an exciting time. I want to mention, as part, didn't finish the story about Fallen to Dearborn. Ouch. Sorry, bad joke again. Don't like that name. But there's going to be many activities next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, at the Dearborn Historical Museum's McFadden-Ross House. The same place, same building, but that's what they call it. The McFadden-Ross House, which is, in fact, Dearborn's Historical Museum. That's 915 Brady Street in West Dearborn from 10 to 5 on October 3rd, 11 to 5, getting an hour later start on Sunday, October 4th. There'll be games and crafts for children. There'll be pumpkin carving while supplies last, small fee applies. Civil War reenactor encampment. Hope they don't fire off those blunderbuss. That's too noisy for me. But Wildlife Recovery Association is going to be there with live bird presentations. That's October 3rd at noon and 3 p.m. Music by Matt Watroba, the WDET Folks Like Us host, the folk guy who does folk music himself. He's going to be there Saturday at 11 a.m. on the grounds of the Dearborn Historical Museum. And 1:30 p.m., they have a music by Mustard's Retreat, which sounds like a Civil War reenactment group. But I think they do sort of historical music. Do they have older instruments? I don't know, but it'll be great. That's free also. They're going to be there October 4th at 1 and 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Amazing Clark Magic Show is going to be on Sunday, October 4th at noon. Amazing Clark Puppet Show. So the guy does magic and puppets. Wonder if he does magical puppets. Put the two together. That's going to be at 2 p.m. on October 4th. Also, Antique Appraisal Clinic is going to go on there Saturday, October 3rd from 10 to 4, $10 an item. Limit of 5 hand-carved items, please. Hand-carried. I guess you can't roll them in. Hand-carried items, just so they can get to as many people as possible. And, of course, things are happening for kids at the Bryant Branch Library on those dates, or on just on Saturday, anyway. And the farm market, of course, next Friday, is considered part of Fall into Dearborn. So, give you more information about the grand opening of the Welcome Center next week on this show. And next week, we are going to be featuring another interview with a candidate for the Dearborn City Council election. Again, we have made a choice that we hope you appreciate to interview only the challengers, not the incumbents. They've been there a while. You should know them by their name, by their reputations, good or bad. And so we know that challengers have a tough time politically. They don't have any easy funding. They don't get the option to raise money in as many ways as an incumbent might. So that's why we're doing challengers. And next week, I believe it's Ali Sayed. And Mr. Sayed is one of the challengers. I think he came out 14th out of the 14, but he's in the top there, and he's going to tell us his story next week here on the December 2nd edition of the new WHFR Journal. So we're looking forward to that time here, and hope you want to catch that too. Now, before we go, and we are waiting for, of course, to see Joanne Korchinska, the parking situation here at the college is still a little bit strange. They say by October 15th, they should have this year's phased parking lots all completed. They'll be more open. Things will be more organized. But sometimes Joanne, who needs to find special parking closer by, a little hard for her to walk a long distance here, as most of the students are able to, that she is sometimes a little bit a minute or two late getting here. But before the end of the hour and the podcast runs out and turns off, our Dearborn Health Department is offering seasonal flu shots for both Dearborn residents and non-residents, as well as pneumonia shots, or anti-pneumonia shots anyway, we hope. The seasonal flu shots, now these are not the H1N1 or so-called swine flu ones. There may be a press release about that. They may have that available here. I understand there might be a shortage. Last I heard was, oops, they thought we're going to have plenty of the swine flu shots, but they're highly recommending you get the regular seasonal flu shot because you don't want to get the seasonal flu and the swine flu at the same time. You could do that. You could actually come down with two different kinds of flu at the same time, and then you'd really be in trouble. So that is happening at the health department Monday through Thursday at the Henry Ford Centennial Library. Okay, and that is 16301 Michigan Avenue, east of Greenfield. And you can get in touch with them. The health department is closed on Thursdays, but you can go to Dearborn's Ford Community and Performing Arts Center on Thursday morning in the senior wing. You don't have to be a senior, from 9 to 11:30, and no appointment is necessary. Just walk on in. Check the times. Mondays and Fridays from 9 to 1, and Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 9 to 1. Well, it's the same thing. And from Tuesdays and Wednesdays, also there's an afternoon from 1:30 to 4. Cost? Dearborn residents, $20. Got to bring that's for an adult age 18 to 64. Bring your proof of residency. And it's $25 if you're a non-resident. Senior citizens, it's only $15. You have to prove you're age 65 or older if you're a Dearborn resident, and $20 if you're a senior from some other location. They even have flu shots for kids ages 6 months to 18 years. I'd say check with your doctor before you do it with the kids. That's only $10 for Dearborn kids and $15 for